Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're doing great. The Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcasting live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save an average of $470 on auto insurance. That's a lot of money for a quick phone call, don't you think?
Are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
All right, we got a lot to get to. Kyrie played his first game with James Harden and Kevin Durant all on the same roster, and it was an all-star game last night. And they lost. What does it all mean? You'll find out. David Thorpe's going to join us from Truba Hoop in 25 minutes. Richard Sherman knows where Deshaun Watson should go, should force his way into, and why Richard Sherman is completely and utterly wrong, out of his mind, and almost comically wrong. But he's talking about the franchise quarterback. And the news of the day is that the Eagles are hiring Indianapolis Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni as their next head coach. There was a sense, this is from Adam Schefter, in league circles that the race had narrowed to two candidates, Josh McDaniels and Sirianni, who had been the Colts coordinator the past three seasons. The Eagles ended up hiring the less heralded name, but one who continued to gain steam inside the Eagles organization, the more they called around about him. Sirianni had previously spent three seasons as an assistant with the Kansas City Chiefs and five seasons with the Chargers. He is a protégé. Protégé of the head coach. That's what he is. And what you should know is that the Indianapolis Colts are obviously coached by not only a guy who is a former quarterback in his own right, in Frank Reich, somebody who was incredibly well-regarded for how he dealt with Carson Wentz, and the reason that Philip Rivers went there instead of retiring last year, before he retired this year, was Frank Reich. And, of course, Sirianni was there as well during their time together with the Chargers. The point is that, and I do think there's a parallel. Philip Rivers, I believe, will be a Hall of Famer. But Philip Rivers is not a perfect quarterback, but the best parts of Philip Rivers were made better when he was with Frank Reich, either in San Diego or in Indianapolis, even when many of his skills had faded. And that's essentially what Sirianni is going to be asked to do, right? He's going to be asked to find the positives and make them exponentially better than the negatives. That's really what it kind of comes down to. Nick Sirianni, though, this is a franchise-defining hiring. You're like, really? Yeah. It's a franchise-defining hire. Because Sirianni, who's young, has been around it. I mean, look, last 8 years, all he's done is quarterbacks, and he's had multiple ones. I mean, think about what he inherited. Thought he was going to have Andrew Luck forever. Then they had Jacoby Brissett. And then he ends up with Philip Rivers. And that's been his life the last 3 years. And Sirianni, of course, was in Kansas City when they had Alex Smith. I go back and look. And Alex Smith was not the perfect quarterback. But you find a way to make it work based upon that quarterback's skill set. That quarterback's mentality. How that quarterback likes to play. I don't know if I like it, but it doesn't actually matter because this hiring is about one thing and one thing only, fixing Carson Wentz. That's it. You know, that's the, there's an old Rodney Dangerfield joke. Do you guys remember the late Rodney Dangerfield? Rodney Dangerfield, comedian, probably best remembered for his role in Caddyshack. I think that's probably, and he had the, I'll tell you, I get no respect at all. No respect, right? But he was a longtime famous comedian for his one-liners. And I used to listen to a cassette tape of Rodney Dangerfield at Dangerfield. He had his own comedy club in New York. And one of his lines was, you know, I told my wife, she told me to take out the garbage. I told her, you cooked it. You take it out, right? That's what Howie Roseman has to do with his quarterback. Like, it doesn't even matter necessarily if they think that Carson Wentz is as good as his contract. It doesn't matter if they truly believe he can lead them back to a Super Bowl and get back to that MVP form. It doesn't matter. You cooked it. You take it out. Howie Roseman signed him to this gargantuan deal. The franchise is locked in, is almost crippled by it. He ain't retiring, so you can't write off any of this money like maybe the Steelers can. All right. So you got to fix it. And you cooked it, you take it out. That's what's taking place in Philadelphia. You know, it doesn't have to do with the defense. Do they have to draft better? Sure. Do they have to put better guys in position? Yes. They got to fix the offensive line. Absolutely. But Chris Ballard isn't coming over to help Howie Roseman. Chris Ballard, of course, rebuilt that offensive line. So the personnel decisions are going to be, this is Roseman saying like, hey, this is my quarterback. I'm going to ride. It's my ride or die. I got to find a way. This is the guy who has the best skill set because he knows the offense. He knows the style of play in which they've used to be successful. He knows how Frank is with people. He knows how he was with people. And I'm sure that after thorough research and talking with Frank Reich, he knows how Carson Wentz can best be used. I think it makes sense. But I also think it is a move solely about one guy. You can tell me there are other players of importance with the Philadelphia Eagles, but they fired one coach and hired another for one reason, the quarterback. They got to get this right. Once you have that big deal, and it should be almost a warning to Sean McVay. Now, I know McVay only has 1 year left with Goff, but this fighting with quarterbacks and diminishing the respect level of the quarterback. No matter how bad Jared Goff plays, he's got to continue the Sean McVay thing of, if something goes wrong, it's my fault. Something goes right, it's his fault. Why? Because your career is forever tied to the quarterback. And this isn't anything new. In college, I mean, look, what happened? What's the downfall of Mac Brown at Texas? Right? Mac Brown had a succession of incredible quarterbacks. And then he had Garrett Gilbert, who was all everything, who replaced Colt McCoy in the national championship game, and he just wasn't as good or as dynamic or as respected as Colt, as Vince Young, as Chris Sims. You know, like, you go back through, and there was like five straight stud Texas quarterbacks. Then they couldn't figure it out. I mean, look at Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. He hadn't been able to figure out the quarterback position. And that's his expertise. Hell, I mean, look, there's been lots of problems with the Cleveland Browns in the time between their 18 years of playoff experience. But what's the running, you know, joke on the internet or on jerseys is all the quarterbacks that they have gone through. I mean, what happened to John Elway? He won a Super Bowl, and granted, Peyton Manning couldn't throw a football. But the previous years he could. You lose Peyton Manning and it's been a turnstile there. It's the warning to the Dallas Cowboys about the thought of letting Dak Prescott walk. But there were some lean years before they found Tony Romo. Right? Quincy Carter was your starting quarterback for a year. Yikes. It wasn't terrible. You got to fix the quarterback position. You got to fix the quarterback position. The quarterback is the kitchen of the NFL house, right? I mean, if you're going to go buy a house, you know, obviously it's about location, 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 location. But when you walk into the house, it's about the kitchen. If the kitchen's screwed up and you can't fix the kitchen, you can't fix the kitchen layout or whatever, then the house is screwed up. Why? Because that's where you spend most of your time. The kitchen. And if you can't figure out the quarterback, then it ain't going to work. You know? Especially when you're paying him $30 plus million dollars guaranteed for a couple years. And if you get rid of him, you have to pay even more in dead cap money. Philadelphia Eagles know their problem. They believe they can fix it. They researched and found the best possible guy who will take the job, who will do his best, and has at least a bunch of checks in his direction that could help him do it. Make no mistake about it. Sirianni has got to fix the quarterback position, or else everybody goes. Everybody. It's Doug Gottlieb Show live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save a bundle on your auto insurance. By the way, you hire Sirianni, it means you're not trading Carson Wentz. You can just forget about that. I didn't think they were doing it anyway, but this means we brought in a guy simply to fix it. That's it, period, stop. And the reason that they fired Doug Peterson was either his lack of belief in or his inability to connect to Carson Wentz. That's it, period, stop. A huge move in the NFL that everyone keeps talking about, but the reality is it makes absolutely positively no sense. That's upcoming next. But first, men across America love Tommy John underwear because they keep everything in place. No more flopping or sticking to yourself. And women love Tommy John underwear because it makes them look so good. In 2021, you can make everyone happy with Tommy John. When you start every morning with Tommy John underwear, you're that much more comfortable with dozens of comfort innovations. Once you've tried Tommy John underwear, you're never going back. Try breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands so it moves with you. Tommy John underwear comes with a non-rolling waistband for the perfect fit. The legs never ride up, and each of Tommy John's 13 pairs of underwear sold are covered by a no-wedgie guaranteed. There is no risk of Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Go to TommyJohn.com/Doug and save 15% off your first order. You can go there right now. Save 15% your first order. Here's how you do it. TommyJohn.com/Doug. TommyJohn.com/Doug. See site for details.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We'll get into a little basketball in 10 minutes. You ever know there's things that everyone's saying and they keep saying it and then you're like, you know, that doesn't really make all that much sense, right? You guys know some stuff like that? I got one for you. It's like, flat tax. We need flat tax. Flat tax. Remember there was a time, I think Steve Forbes was running for president and we've heard the flat taxes, flat tax. Like, that doesn't actually work. Doesn't actually work. I mean, first all accountants would go away. Plus the flat taxes. Yeah, that don't work. Mm-mm. There's so many different parts to it. You know, I mean, the pay the players thing. Pay the players. I've even heard this year, basketball, college sports, they're only doing it for the money. They lose more money by playing sporting events with nobody there than they do by canceling it. These are actual facts, right? So you get this all the time. Things that people say and they get behind and they're like, yeah, that doesn't actually make any sense. A lot of things were said about what was going to happen yesterday. None of them happened. You know why? Because they didn't make any sense. You're not going to leave. It's not going to leave. It's not going to leave. Of course she's going to leave. It's over. It's been over for a couple months. It's over. You know, there's some discussion about it, but he was always going to leave. And he left. Didn't make any sense otherwise. Richard Sherman is echoing the same sort of sentiment in the NFL. He was on Chris Collinsworth's podcast. He was talking about Deshaun Watson and where he should play next season. Take a listen.
It would be the most beautiful. Decent offensive line. They'd have to find threats. They'd have to find some offensive weapons. But I think there would be a lot more people excited to be there. You know, I think the free agency market this year is going to be oversaturated because of the salary cap. But that's what I would do. I would be out of there on the first thing smoking.
Yeah, I would. You know what I would do is I'd Deshaun Watson. I would go to the New York Jets. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. The New York Jets in 2021. Well, here's the good news. They do have $26.7 million in unused cap space in 2021. So cap-wise, it would be pretty good, right? Be pretty good. They would. They would have some cap space to potentially sign some guys outside of Deshaun Watson. But here's the issue. And not too much damage is done to Watson in Texas if they trade him, right? That's not the dead cap money of $21.6 million. But if you look at his contract, first of all, you look at his contract, you're like, okay, what happens? Well, the dead cap money in 21, if he goes to the Jets, would be $67 million. And 51 the following year. And then it kind of gets reasonable. So all that free agency money, that cap space, kind of goes away. And you know, here's the thing about trading for Deshaun Watson, who I've said, I don't think he's one of those top five guys. If he was, they would have been better than they were in the 4 years before he got there. And they have not been. I didn't say I didn't like him. I didn't say he wasn't talented. I didn't say he wasn't good. I wouldn't say he wasn't tough. I wasn't smart. None of those things. He's not in that Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers elite category. He hasn't done what Russell Wilson's done. You can tell me he doesn't have a supporting cast. Like, dude, have you seen what Russell Wilson has done in comparison? Okay. So, but I like him. The argument against him being with the Texans is it's a poorly run organization and you're wasting the good years of his career. I like Joe Douglas. I think he's got a chance to build it. I think he's got a chance to be special. They got to figure out if Sam Darnold is their quarterback. And my guess is bringing Robert Saleh in there, who is one of the guys that Deshaun Watson recommended apparently to the Texans. They have not hired. The idea of that is, like, okay, first you'd have to have Houston say, we have a quarterback we think is a franchise quarterback we're willing to give up. And they don't have to trade him. And Deshaun Watson isn't going anywhere. He doesn't want to play, that's fine. They got him under contract. Whenever he decides to play for 3 years. It's a four-year deal, $111 million guaranteed, which he signed after DeAndre Hopkins was traded. But why would you want to go to a place that would have to get rid of all of their potential assets in order to obtain you when they're already bad? Right? Like the Jets, like, I like the Jets. But you know what they don't have? They don't have players. And you know what you shouldn't do? And Joe Douglas knows this. Free agency is not the way to build any team in the NFL. It has never been. The hit rate is 33%. And it's not like they're swimming in money with the cap not going up. They'd have some money. A lot of it would have to be spent on Deshaun Watson. And then their draft picks would all be spent on Deshaun Watson. All their good ones. If Deshaun Watson was really going to be traded for, which they don't have to trade him, do you think you wouldn't have to give up both first-round picks this year and probably both next year? Of course you would. As well as some other stuff. Anything they wanted, that's what you would get. Deshaun Watson can only go to a place. The only place that would make sense for him is to go to a team that already has the culture and the personnel established and is simply missing a quarterback. That's not what the Jets are missing. They're missing, well, basically everything. It's a gut job. But everybody keeps saying, go to the Jets, go to the Jets, go to the Jets, go to the Jets. Here's the funny thing about the Jets. Has that been a well-run organization?
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. David Thorpe joins us from True Hoop. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. True Hoop's a great place to go for all the NBA discussions you could ever want. David, one game in, They don't have much of a bench. I thought they shared the ball, but they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Give me your early sense of the Nets and how it's going to go.
Oh, boy. I mean, it's going to go fine. They don't need all three of their stars to be great on offense. Two are fine. Three might be better. There's a feeling out process for sure. I like what Steve Nash and they're running D'Antoni, basically, you know, middle pick and roll, spread it out, kind of take turns with their guys. But they're doing more than that. They're adding some other screen to screener stuff. They're coming up with different ways to get into ball screen action. It's just not hard for them to score. The question, I think, Doug, is going to be, and you remember very well, it wasn't that long ago where the big three, kind of like the first time three superstars came to Miami, it was a little bit different. They struggled to kind of figure it out at first, but there was only two ball dominant primary ball handlers. Bosch was a big. He was a scorer, but he was a big. And it's different. Wade very quickly realized, okay, LeBron's better, just like he did for Team USA that previous summer. And they kind of just melded together. This is different. Durant is a primary ball handler scorer, as are the two guards. I don't know how it's going to go as the season goes on. I don't think it's hard for them, Doug, to play well. As you said, they know how to play. They know how to share the ball. They're all supremely skilled scorers. There isn't a bench, which is why I think it'd probably be smart to maybe take turns bringing one of those guys, not off the bench to begin the game, but quickly go to the bench, get your rest, and then lead the second unit. Sometimes that'll be KD, sometimes Kyrie, sometimes Harden, to give that second group more punch, and also to break up the big three together so that they're not just taking turns. They've got to kind of come up with a more seamless plan. I think it's going to be fine. They're not my favorites to win the East. It's possible. Harden's got to get in a lot better shape too, Doug. And Kyrie, who's betting on Kyrie right now? I'm not. Maybe he'll be fine. But I'm skeptical. And so I think they're going to be a very good offensive team, a little bit worse defensively. And there's a long way to go before I believe in them as real contenders.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What about Kyrie? How do people in the league view him?
You know, it's funny. He is one of the more enigmatic players for reasons that are less than obvious. The other ones are obvious. He's never been a super high usage guy. I studied him a lot when he was with Boston, and he definitely was a problem in Boston. But it wasn't because he's a ball hog. Everyone has incredible respect for his talent. He's hard to get along with. He's hard to buy in with as a teammate, to really believe that he cares about you. He seems to be a very caring person about the world, and that's great. And players appreciate that. But there's still a disconnect there. What I always say, though, Doug, and I said this long ago about DeMarcus Cousins when he was really struggling. In fact, I literally told this to George Call directly at dinner one night. What he is now doesn't mean it's who he's going to be later. Like, players are allowed to grow up. We're all rooting for Kyrie to do that. He certainly is in a position in terms of talent and need where they have a chance to be a really special team if he figures it out with those guys. I think Harden understands his legacy. All that's left is to win. We know what Durant wants to get accomplished. Kyrie's got to do the same. I think it's possible. Even then, just because those three guys are amazing and might score 85 points a game together, they've still got to find a way to score another 20-25, and it's a challenge. They've got some work to do, and they got to prevent the other team from scoring 130.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, I think it's really interesting because they're all unbelievable talents. They don't have a training camp, so they can't put in whatever new scheme they want offensively, and defensively they can't work on their rotations. I do think you can add to the bench with, you know, some pieces of guys who want to come in as a role player and maybe think you got a chance to win the whole thing. I think it's going to be a fascinating experience. I guess here's my thing to people who say they can't come out of the East. Who do you like in the East? If you don't like them, that's fine. Embiid's having a great year, but do you like the Sixers with how Simmons is playing? Like, who do you like in the East if you don't like the Nets?
Yeah, I don't like the Nets the most. And before I forget, let me say this. No one's thinking about this now, but this is going to be the best G League system in a year in terms of talent in the history of the league. And as a talent league, it's number two in the world after the NBA, not in terms of ability to play in the game, because a lot of these guys are very young, but the talent is overwhelming. I have zero doubt there'll be G League players that can be rotation players for the Nets and help them get better. I could say that about a few other teams too. So yes, help can come for sure. Once you start seeing these guys play in their season in the bubble, everyone will kind of see who those guys are. Yeah, I like the Sixers. They were my dark horse team initially with all those shooters around and a motivated Embiid. I don't know that I trust Simmons enough. Well, you know, I think the jury's out on that. I think he's relieved he's not in Houston. I still think Milwaukee is going to be the best team for lots of different reasons, but mostly because Giannis isn't playing so well and they're still very good. They're still an amazing shooting team right behind the Clippers in three-point shooting. I think, you know this well, having followed basketball so long. I think losing painfully helps inform you going forward. They've had two very painful postseason losses. We should see a more resolved team come playoff time. They're going to be a top two seed. Boston's another interesting team. I'm not ready to say they can't do it, and this is going to sound really stupid and crazy, but the Raptors are much, much better than what we're seeing now. I'm not suggesting they're the best team in the East, that's for sure. But Chris Boucher has been probably going to win the most improved player award. He's been terrific. Siakam has not been what they need. They're not defending with the same passion. I think Nick Nurse is great. Do I think they'll win the East? No. But can they make the playoffs and then knock a team off? Yes. I still see some pedigree there that's pretty special. It's going to be a jumbled East for sure. I don't favor Brooklyn. They're good enough, but I like some of those teams better.
Yeah, David Thorpe joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Let's dig into Milwaukee there. They thought they were getting Bogdanovich, and they didn't. They did get Jrue Holiday, who I think both of us love. What's your take on Milwaukee as they've tried to, you know, change things and work things out, and they signed Giannis to that long-term deal?
Well, I mean, that's obviously a breath of fresh air for them. For them, it comes down to defense because I think their offense has actually gotten better with Jrue. I think Giannis is, he's had his free throw struggles and his shooting struggles. I think, though, Giannis also realizes what LeBron has long realized, that you're not winning championships, in the first 20 games of the season. So I still think he's going to get much better. I think as a team, they're going to shoot great, and this is going to be a theme you hear me say a few times. I don't know if they have to flip a switch, but I think you're going to see another level of defense for them as we get closer to the season. Closer to the postseason. I've learned my lesson watching the old LeBron Cavaliers team when they just were awful defensively. And then come playoff time, they were a completely different team. I think Milwaukee is going to reach another level or two up. We need to see DiVincenzo play well. I thought he would have more of a breakout year than what he's had. It's early. They played, I think, 14 games. So there's still some time there. I thought DJ Augustine was a good sign for them. It's not working out great for him. He was better with the Magic before. We still need to see him make some progress. And Holiday will still figure stuff out. Like you said, they barely had a training camp. It's a brand-new situation for them. They're a team that I think is going to get much, much better as the year goes on.
All right, the Clippers, they tried to change things, running a different offense, have a different head coach. They added some different pieces. Where are the Clippers as of today?
Yeah, I thought they were the best team on paper, even better than the Lakers. I realize I'm alone in that. But I thought they'd be the best team this year. It would take a while. I thought they'd be top two, top three halfway through the year, and they would, barring injuries, likely get better. I love what they're running. I love the offense we're seeing from them, the ball movement. They play like an old team. They don't get to the free throw line that much. They're the best. Right now, they're the best shooting team in the league. I think they've got five guys taking at least four threes a game, and they're all making over 40%. Kennard's making over 50% of his threes. I think he's at 51%. And here's the trick that people may not remember. I had David Griffin on a podcast I did years ago, and he told me a great story where he said, I said, how are you guys so bad in the regular season, so much better in the postseason, beyond just effort? And when he was in Cleveland with LeBron, he said, Ty Lue took the team's defense over in the postseason. I mean, he said this on a podcast, so it ain't private. He said he let other guys do it during the year, and then he put his own stamp on things, and it made a difference. And so I keep thinking about that with the Clippers. They're not playing with force. They're not guarding with force. They're just really talented and great shooters. If Ty does the same thing, or if someone else takes over in the postseason and can ramp up that defense, I mean, come on, it should be an elite defense. And right now, it's just pretty good. If it gets to be elite level like we think it can be, and they put a little more urgency attacking the rim, getting the free throw line more, I still like them just a tad better than the Lakers, but, it's pretty much a coin flip.
Okay, Steph has had some unbelievable games, especially since Draymond's been back. It's a whole different deal because of Draymond's ability to lead, defend, and pass the ball. And really, for me, it's take Steph off the point. You know, let him. That's where he's even more dangerous, is moving around at times. But when I first saw him, I was like, yeah, I don't like it. I don't. The pieces that they have, Wiseman is coming into his own, and he's going to be a very good player. But I don't know if that fits with how Steph has always played or wants to play, where you have other guys that can really handle and create. In what they're reconstructing in Golden State, ultimately, do you think it can work?
I do. Yes, you're perceptive to pick up what they're trying to do. They made a change, and I don't know when. I watched them here and there, but I watched them last night, and here's Wiseman getting dunk after dunk after dunk from the dunk spot. I think he had 20 in the game. That is not where they played him a lot to start the season. And that's something that's common for them. They typically haven't had the guy that can jump to 13 feet and catch a ball like he did a couple times last night. So now they've got to do what we call it, we call their offense the Cuisinart. Now they've just got a new machine, and now they've got Weissman at the dunk spot. And, you know, you stretch a defense two ways. Think about a rubber band. You can't just pull a rubber band without putting the other end down. You have to hold the other end. Well, right. Wiseman is the holder. That's what stretches the defense out, is if you leave him for a moment, like what's happening last night, it's with the Spurs, he's going to dunk everything at the rim, and he's obviously just, he has no idea what he's doing. He's going to get much, much better. I think Draymond's got to score more for them to be scary. He made a couple threes last night. You're exactly right. He's an incredible facilitator. He, in a sense, is their point guard when Steph isn't. Curry's at another level. He's been the best plus-minus guy in the league since they invented the stat by a monster margin, much better than LeBron. Of course, LeBron was older, yes, but Steph is that kind of player. This year, I think they can be good. They're a solid team, and I don't think people expected that. Their young guys are coming. They've got to get a little more help on the bench. They need another big shooter. Eric Paschal is a good five, but he could use some help. And then, you know, next year with Clay, as Wiggins said a week ago, with Clay, they could be scary. Now, I don't know if Wiggins will be there, but he's starting to come around. He's playing the best defense of his career. They're a good team, and quite frankly, if they make the playoffs, which they would as of today, having Steph Curry, I mean, when you think about who you want to play against if you're an NBA team, that's the one cat that's got to scare the heck out of you. So they're going to be an intriguing team all year, I think, if they stay healthy. I don't know that they get, you know, past even a first round. But if they can get that this year with Clay next year, it's a very different story, and they could be very good.
David Thorpe, go to truehoop.com. You want to you want to download their pods. You want to read all of the different stuff and analysis of what's going on in the league. It's a great site, and you get insight from guys that have been in around the game for 20 years plus. David, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, sir. Be safe.
All right, it's the Doug Gottlieb Show, live from Farmers Insurance, Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call 888-FARMERS, and you can save a whole lot of something on auto insurance. The most important player this weekend is not a quarterback. I'll tell you who it is next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Every day at this time, we have a little bit of fun. Sometimes we incorporate the whole crew. We play a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
Fire.
Game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dan Byer, what do you got?
Doug, it is Thursday, so it's getting a little chilly. Let's see what we've got.
I feel a draft.
Oh, yes. Two-round draft, and we talk so much about the quarterbacks in the NFL, especially this weekend with the quarterbacks that are remaining in the National Football League. So we're going to take a little different twist. Outside of the quarterbacks, Doug, we are drafting the most important non-quarterback players this weekend. So of the four teams, we want to know who is the most important. The draft order goes like this. John Ramos has landed the first pick, and Doug, you are second on the board. So you'll have to see if
John, would you like to make a trade?
You know, I'm not real happy about this. I'm looking for something. What if I gave you the number one pick for your second and seventh picks?
Whoa!
So I only get one pick?
I don't know. That's what I'm offering. Yeah, no. You have to decide.
You can always counter, you know.
No, I would. I will.
You'll stay at two.
You know what? I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
I am at three, and then Ryan Music is at four, and then we'll have the swing picks as we snake back. Okay, John Ramos, you are on the clock.
Well, I think that the Bucks defense is really good, right? They're front line. So I think to help Aaron Rodgers out, I think Aaron Jones needs to have another big game as he did against the Rams. It helped open up the field.
Good answer.
So I'm going to take Aaron Jones as my number one pick.
Okay, that's good. That's a good pick. I don't know if you guys saw this stat. Aaron Rodgers has the most touchdown passes off play action of any quarterback this season in the NFL at 22. In other words, because they've established the running game, he's able to make plays in the pass game. It's a very, very good pick.
And if Aaron Jones is going against the Bucs defense, who's tops against the run in the National Football League, then Green Bay is going to be going. Because if they're running, they can't stop that. Yeah, it will be over, and Green Bay will be headed to Tampa. All right, Doug, you're on the clock. Aaron Jones off the board.
I'm going to stay with the Green Bay Packers, and I'm going to take Davante Adams as my number one pick. And my logic behind it is the following. When the Green Bay Packers win, like, do you guys like splits, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they win, he's had 14, like, he's exponentially, it's a 95 catches in 11 games that they've won. In other words, he's averaging about 9 catches a game. In losses, he's averaging less than 7 catches a game. In wins, his catch rate is 80%. In losses, it's 66%. He has more touchdowns, 30 more yards per game when they win as well. So I'm going to take Davante Adams.
All right, so Davante Adams goes second. I think non-quarterbacks, there's none bigger than Stephon Diggs. Even if Josh Allen throws to John Brown and Cole Beasley and Devin Singletary out of the backfield all day, that is exactly what the Kansas City Chiefs want. So I'm going to take Stephon Diggs of the Bills third for most important non-quarterback this weekend.
You want to hear his splits?
Sure.
Okay, because I consider that one as well. In wins, 12.7 yards per reception. In losses, 9.4, right? He's averaging less than 10 catches a game in losses and about 10 catches a game in wins. And so, yeah, I mean, the catch percentage is the same, but he is more impactful when they win. Go ahead.
All right, Ryan Music, you got back-to-back picks.
I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill. We don't know if Patrick Mahomes is going to play. We assume he will, but even if he does, maybe still dealing with the foot issue. They're going to need Tyreek Hill, that speed and just game-breaking ability. And then for my second pick, I'm going to go with Za'Darius Smith. Mm. Za'Darius Smith of the Packers. If he can, you know, get a couple of sacks, maybe make Tom Brady feel a little uncomfortable off the edge or up the middle there, then could be a total game changer for the Packers.
Excellent, excellent pick. Good pick.
I'm going to stay at the Bills-Chiefs game for my other pick. I'm going to the other team. I'm going to say Harrison Butker, who had troubles.
He's had some troubles.
Yes. So I am going with a Chiefs kicker that could play a huge role in deciding who goes to Super Bowl 55. All right, Doug, it's up to you at 7.
Okay. This one's going to be interesting to me. I'm going to take the replacement to David Bakhtiari. All right, that's what I'm going to do. Take the replacement to David Bakhtiari as the most important player on the Packers remaining.
And John Ramos, last pick.
Yep, I'll go real fast. I'll take Travis Kelce as my final pick.
That's game time.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Yep. Billy Turner is his name. All right. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. More to come.